Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different home organizing businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the first of that series, and I interview Amanda Tichenol, who's based in Orange County, California. Amanda started her home organizing business right after graduating college at age 22. Now, 15 years later, she employs a team of seven. In this episode, Amanda walks through what has worked well in her marketing and what has flopped. And she shares her hard-earned tips about how to grow a sustainable business long-term. And you don't want to miss out on her advice. Make sure to visit the show notes for this episode on marketingthatgenerates.com so you can get links to all the resources we share in the episode and follow Amanda's journey online. On today's episode, I am going to be talking to Amanda, and she is the founder of Well Organized, a home organizing business based in Orange County, California. Amanda is also the mother of three beautiful children, a wife to her loving husband, the fastest runner in her family, and her chili is a crowd pleaser. For over 15 years, Amanda has been helping busy people get organized and helping them let go of the stress, anxiety, and overwhelm that comes from disorganized clutter. Amanda has seen some of the most disorganized homes you can imagine, and she's seen the amazing change that happens when her clients finally get organized. It's like they are freed from a heavy burden. Amanda's helped hundreds of people get organized, and she knows it can seem overwhelming, and getting started is the hardest part. For that reason, she's designed her business's services to make it fast and easy, even for the busiest, most disorganized people. Amanda, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited too.
Yeah. So you've built this awesome home organizing business in Orange County, California. And I'd love to just share with the listeners first a little more about your approach to home organizing.
Yeah, sure. So we are a full service organizing company. So what that means is we don't just come in and transform your pantry and make it look beautiful like a magazine. We're there to change your life and create systems that you can sustain so that we don't have to come back on a regular basis. So we're there really changing your life and making it so that your home feels like a home and not a burden. We just try to make your life as easy as possible by doing everything that we can for you while we're in your home.
Amazing. And I imagine that was born out of often seeing people get organized, but then not sustain that organization. Is that right?
Yeah. So it did start off when I first started, you know, it was more of doing a pantry here or there or one space. And then I started to see that how much one space really leads into another and how your whole home or your space, it could be your office, your business, one space really does affect another. So really to overcome the organizational challenges, you really have to tackle everything. So over the years, that's what it's evolved into. So we really try to help our clients in all areas.
Amazing. And I know you have a few different service offerings, so maybe you can share a little more about each one of them and who they're right for?
Sure. So our most common service is just in-home organizing. We have a team of seven of us. So depending on the size of your home or the scope of your project, there's anywhere from two to seven of us working at a time. And we try to get it accomplished as quick as possible. That's why we bring a full team so that we can get you back to your life as quickly as you can so that it's not a burden anymore and you can check that off your list that you're organized now. So that's really the one thing, is like one-on-one in-home organizing. We're there working with you, we're coaching you, and we're helping you to get through the struggles of being disorganized. And then another big, huge part of our business is doing moves. So we help our clients to purge and pack in an organized fashion. And then we have movers come in that we work with, and then we help you to unpack and organize at your new space. And that can be anything from a downsize, a remodel, a relocation, an upsize. And we work with everything from one bedroom apartments to 20,000 square feet homes. So in any and all of that that is involved in a move, we help with. So.
Wow, that sounds like a godsend as someone who's moved a lot.
Yes.
Just have someone come in and help you handle it from A to Z, not just the packing, but the entire moving service, and know that you have trusted vendors that you work with, and then come and get it all organized in the new place. That's amazing.
It is a one-of-a-kind service for sure. And you'll never move again by yourself once you use us. And then we do some virtual organizing also, but it seems like most people want us there. So I do some stuff over the phone or through email where people will send videos of their space, and I give them a plan so that they can tackle it on their own.
Incredible. And let's say someone's listening to this podcast and wondering, am I ready for Amanda and her team? When would you suggest someone seek out your services?
If you just are not getting to where you want to be, and you've tried and tried and tried to organize, and you just never can get to where you want, it's any time is good then at that point. If you're overwhelmed by any space in your home, or stuck, or feeling just like burdened by anything, it's the perfect time to call us. And there's no harm in making a phone call or reaching out. I'm always there to talk people through the process, and if we are the right fit for them. And we do small projects too. We can come in for 4 hours and do one area. But, you know, the hardest thing usually for people is making that phone call and taking the step to like, I need help. I can't do this anymore. It's just like calling a personal trainer. It's like, okay, I've tried this on my own. I can't work out. I'm not losing the weight I want to lose. It's the same concept. So we're there to be your coach and your guide. So, I mean, really any time is a good time.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe this is the stage of life I'm in, but for example, I think about a lot of my friends who recently start having kids, and then like all of a sudden they were organized, and then life kind of blows up. And then they're like, oh, shoot, things look totally different. There's toys. Like,
for sure. Anytime there's a transition, it could be you go from being single to married. You can go from being married to divorced. You could go from having no kids to kids. You could go from having kids to being empty nesters. It's all those transitional points in life that where things start to kind of lose control a little bit. It could be a tragedy sometimes that we've had to deal with for somebody that kind of derails them. So there's all kinds of these triggers that kind of push you into disorganization.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I think is really helpful if you're thinking about, okay, I've tried on my own, but I'm just struggling to get things as organized as I'd like, or maybe there's new components happening in your life that you hadn't, you know, you're not used to.
Exactly.
So, Amanda, you started your business over 15 years ago, which is amazing. What inspired you to start it?
So I started my business right out of college. I was 22. I ran cross country and track for a Division I school, and it was really time consuming and all encompassing, and going to a big university and all that. And I just couldn't see myself sitting behind a desk all day long, but I wanted to do something business, and I wanted to change people's lives. And organizing was always something I was passionate about. And my parents were the ones who kind of encouraged me to go down this line of work. And I started doing research. There's a National Association of Professional Organizers, and I just started throwing myself into it. And so at 22, I started my business, and I started slowly, and it took off within the first year. And now I have 6 employees, and, you know, it's been a really awesome business to have as a mom and a woman, and to employ other people too.
That is so incredible. And not many people start a business right out of college. So I feel like that's really brave too, to just dive in head first and say, this is the path I'm taking.
Yeah, it was a little scary, not gonna lie. And like, you know, I did have a part-time job at the same time to sustain myself, but it was a good time too, because I wasn't married yet, didn't have kids yet. So it was a, you know, opportunity to take a leap of faith. And, you know, the first couple of years of like any business are scary. So it's unknown. And will I sustain this? But every year I've had growth since the beginning, and wow, it's been a really awesome ride. So
yeah. And do you think, well, I'll just ask right out, did you see any growth during this last year as people were in their homes more?
Yes, we have grown insanely. I've had to hire, I only had 2 employees before COVID. Now there's myself and 6. And we all pretty much work full time. I mean, they're not working 40 hours a week, but we're all working about 30-ish hours a week. And we're booked out 4 weeks in advance consistently.
Oh my gosh.
So it's been huge. And a lot of people have been moving also. It's been a big change for a lot of people. I think people have realized either their home wasn't right for them, or it's the chance to move now that they have been home a lot, or time to remodel because they've been home a lot, or their house feels too small because there's too many people in it. So there's been a lot of change for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And pretty exciting too, although I'm sure sometimes stressful to experience that level of growth.
It's been a little challenging, I have to say, to grow without realizing that I was going to grow. You know, it wasn't like a plan I set in place, but it's been awesome. And I've had to, you know, there's been some learning curves and some growing pains, but we're figuring out as a team, and it's been really awesome in a lot of ways. So
yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, you started over 15 years ago, and I'm guessing the business has evolved quite a bit since then. Has there been any change in who you're serving or how you're serving them?
I definitely think like the class of people has gone up. I work more in upper middle class to upper class. It's become more of a luxury service that we provide to a lot of our clients. That doesn't mean you have to make a certain amount of money to afford us. It's just when we take on big projects, those are the type of clients that we usually service. And more than anything, it's just doing the full service stuff now that we do, instead of like the small little projects. We're really helping people in all areas of their life. So that's really become the biggest changes, is bigger scale of projects.
Yep. And I think that's a natural evolution when you first get started. You know, you take on small projects, get your feet wet, get your name out there, and then things grow from there. Yeah. So I've had the immense pleasure of you working with you in the past a long time ago on your online marketing. And, you know, speaking frankly, I was really blown away by the state of your online presence when we first got started. It was incredible. You were so much farther along than most service providers. Like, it was really clear to me why you were knocking it out of the park in Orange County. And so I know you had some help from Chris and Lindsay, a kind of dynamic duo. But from your standpoint as a service provider, did getting that kind of help impact your business growth at all? And did it free up any time for you to focus on other areas of your business?
Yeah, I mean, I think the marketing aspect is always a struggle for any business. It's, how do I show my voice? How do I explain to people why I'm different from another company in my same industry? And so doing, you know, working with experts in that industry really helps you to kind of outline that stuff. And I mean, honestly, it's something I still struggle with to this day, is like, am I doing the right thing? Do I have a good enough presence? But I'm always err to the side of let the expert in the field help you, and don't try to figure it out on your own. So Chris and Lindsay have helped me a lot. Lindsay actually still helps me here and there, because awesome, he's my brother-in-law too. So he does help me in that way. But I definitely think like it's always been helpful to reach out to the experts in the marketing industry, just to help make sure you're on the right track and staying current and doing all of that. Social media has always been a struggle for me, because I did start my business so long ago. It wasn't, social media didn't exist. And so it's been really hard for me to incorporate that. I'm trying a lot harder these days, but it's just a hard thing for me, because I wasn't so used to doing it before. So that's definitely something that I'm always seeking out still.
Yeah. Plus you're running a team of 7, right, and in yes, a period of crazy growth. So I also imagine you're not looking necessarily to social media as a growth channel right now because you have plenty of business?
I mean, it definitely is important, I think, because I think a lot of people look to social media to find credibility or competitors or just see who you are. So we've really been working actually in the last few months to show that better and to show our story more and show the team more and things like that. Because no, it's not the main way that I get business. However, I do think it is so important to show people that we exist.
Yeah. I think that's really smart. And you guys have some great content on there, some transformations and before and afters. You do showcase the team. So I've really been enjoying following what you're doing on there. So maybe we could talk a little bit about your marketing and some things that have worked well for you, so that anyone who's listening may be able to get some ideas for their own business. And I know what you're doing now likely looks a lot different than what you did when you first got started. But if we could just start by talking about, how do you get new business? Where do people come from? How do they find you? What does that look like today?
Sure. Like, so 99% of our business is now referral based because we have grown so much, but it wasn't always that way. And I did a lot of things in the past, from mailers, which is really old fashioned, to all kinds of stuff. But today I would say the top two things are just networking and client relationships, and then social media is basically what we focus on. I've tried to go down the blogging route. I just don't have time to do it. Yeah. It's not, I could not make it a priority. I tried and tried and tried, and it's just not my thing. And I do have my website, which we're working on updating currently. But I think that social media is just important to show our clients like what we do on a daily basis, so that it helps them to keep us in the forefront, which then in turn helps them to refer us and keep our client relationships going. So social media and client relationships are our two biggest like marketing avenues.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I really like that you were able to identify what channels were best for you and which ones weren't, because there are lots of ways to secure a new business and not everyone has to do it blogging, for example,
Correct.
And so if that's not something you enjoy, can be consistent with because of other commitments, et cetera, then let's find faster, easier paths for you to, be successful with your marketing. You mentioned direct mailers, and I'd love to kind of deviate for a second and just ask you about them. Were they successful in the past when you did them?
They were not. So I did what was called money mailers. And this was back in 2005. And they would go to a specific demographic and zip codes. And it just ended up being people looking to get a deal all the time. So people would call, but it wasn't the type of clients I was looking for. So I did that a couple of times and then turned away from doing that. But I will mail out my current clients like thank you notes and holiday cards and things like that, so that we're always in their forefront. But those are just to our current clients, or our current and past clients, our whole database. So, and then I've done email marketing too. But again, that's me keeping up with it. And I just, unfortunately, am not very good at that. So,
yeah. So I love for anyone who's listening, how important it is to experiment with things and then collect data and say, hey, is this bringing in the right type of business too? Because yeah, maybe you are getting calls, maybe you are getting inquiries, but maybe that's not who you want to be serving, or maybe they're not the right people for your service. So I think it's important to try something long enough to collect that feedback and then say, okay, that's maybe not the right channel for me, or maybe I need to tweak things in order to bring the right people in. And so I think it's important to, 15 years in, you are a lot farther along than perhaps some of our listeners. And it's important to hear, hey, there's really great successes and there's also some things that don't knock it out of the park, and that's okay.
Right. I also would say too, you don't have to take all business just because it comes your way. And that's something I've had to learn the hard way. Because I'm a yes person, and I'm sure a lot of business owners are, because you want to be successful and you want to succeed, but not always all business is the business you want. And so you have to also learn to say no, or it's not the right fit sometimes too.
Yeah. So maybe we can transition into talking about that a little bit, which is what I would consider kind of qualifying the leads that come your way. Have you honed in on a process or some way that helps you identify, is this person a good fit or not for our services?
Yeah, so I've kind of gotten into the habit of not trying to chase clients too much because I don't like when people do that to me. So, for example, if somebody calls me, most of the time people call or text or send in a social media direct message. That's how they reach out. I do get a few leads through my website, but I will call or text somebody like 2 to 3 times. And if I don't hear back from them, then I kind of let it be. If I start hearing back from them, then I continue on the conversation. And the ultimate goal for me is to get a consultation with them, because as soon as I get in the door, 90% of the time, they're going to hire us. So it's me getting in to see them personally or do a phone consult, something like that. I don't know, I kind of diverted from that question, I think, a little bit. But I think it's just making sure that the person is aware of our services that we offer and what they're going to get from us and what to expect so that they're prepared for, you know, what we're going to do for them so that there's no, you know, questions. So usually from a phone call, we can figure out if we're a good match for them or not.
I think that's great. So initially you're kind of qualifying them by saying, hey, do I have to chase you down or not? And if I do, then you're probably not as interested in our services. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time doing that. And then if you're ready to have a conversation and we can have a consultation over the phone, great. That's a great way for me to explain everything we're doing and then move you through the customer journey and, take on a project together.
Correct.
Awesome. So thinking about those people who reach out but aren't quite ready, maybe they've had a conversation with you but, you know, aren't ready to take the next step. Do you follow up with them? What does that look like if you do? And if you don't, I assume they just kind of stick around your social media and they get content that way where they can keep seeing what you're doing.
Right. And it's really interesting. Sometimes I'll hear from somebody a whole year later, you know, they might just not be the right time for them in their life. So I will follow up with people about a month later. If I think that they're on the fence about something, like I said, I don't like to be too pushy because it is an emotional journey we go on with them in a way. It's not as simple as coming and fixing a broken pipe where they're, you know, going through their personal belongings and there's a lot of things that are involved in it. So it is a process. And if they're not ready for it, it's not going to be a successful process. So that's why I don't push so hard as maybe some other industries. But I do always reach out and I, you know, at first it's maybe like a weekly basis and then for whatever reason, I keep track of everybody that I talk to and I always think about them. So I will reach out over time and it's very casual, just, hey, checking in, want to just let you know, I was thinking about you. If you're interested in our services, let us know. We can get you on our schedule, you know, that kind of stuff. So that there's no pressure, but that they feel like we're there when they're ready.
Yeah. And also, who doesn't like to be sold to that way where you feel really taken care of, but you're not push to make a decision you're not ready to make.
Right. I don't like being pushed.
No. And especially when there's a lot of emotion involved. Personally, that would turn me off if someone was being really pushy. And I'm like, hey, this is an emotional decision. Like, give me some time.
Yes. And I find that most of the time they always end up moving forward. It might not be this month. It might be next year, like I said, but somehow, somewhere they always come back to us. So they may have even tried another service that they weren't happy with. So I just, you know, I try to just be accommodating and personable. And I think that any industry you can do that in, that you show the client that you care about them and their needs and not about just making the dollar, then they'll be more trusting in you and they'll be more willing to work with you.
100%. I think if you're listening right now, write that down because it's really about serving your customers and your clients. And sometimes that means referring them somewhere else or letting them take their own time to come to the decision. And it's not always about your bottom line. And I find when you take that approach, as I'm sure you do, Amanda, it does impact your bottom line in a positive way.
It does. It might not be immediately, but it does eventually. And that's something I've learned just over the years is I used to be caught up in that bottom line, you know, and I think any business owner is like you have a goal in mind. But sometimes 1 month maybe is a lot higher than another. And so it makes up for it. But you have to set those client relationships are your key to success. Like you can market the heck out of things, but if your client, you know, relationships are terrible, then the marketing isn't going to help you if you don't
know,
you know, so it has to go hand in hand. And your marketing, I think, should show that you have that compassion and caring too.
Yeah. And if you're, for example, let's say you have great marketing, but your customer experience is terrible, then like you're just kind of about turning and burning. And that's a really hard game to play long term. I mean, it might work for a little bit, but
for sure,
you know, so I think you're really smart to prioritize the client experience and even the client relationships. I love that you send holiday cards. I think that's so special. And I bet your clients really love that too.
Yeah, I think it's still fun to do the old-fashioned stuff, you know, just the little notes and messages, or even if it's a quick little text, just thinking about you. It doesn't even have to be selling anything. It just keeps you in their forefront, kind of. It's just those little touches.
Yeah, and I think the mailbox is a lot less crowded than someone's Instagram feed, you know?
For sure.
Well, Amanda, I really appreciate you sharing your amazing business growth journey. And knowing that you're 15 years in, is there one piece of advice you might give to someone who's a little earlier on in the journey and is looking at growth and marketing and thinking like, you know, how do I do it all? Or what should I prioritize? Or, you know, this is hard.
Yes. I mean, it's always hard. Even 15 plus years in, it's still hard, you know, yeah. But take it slow and don't put too much pressure on yourself. You don't have to do everything all at once. You can start with one thing and grow from there. So if it's social media, if you're good at blog posting, start with that and look to the experts. I'm telling you, that's what is key. Like they will help you and guide you. And even if it costs you a little bit of money up front, it's going to help you in the end so much. And just take it day by day. But I think it's always important to write your goals down too and have short-term and long-term goals. And that's always helped me in all aspects of my life. And I even help my clients with that too. But I think with marketing, same thing. Like, okay, this month I'm going to start with Instagram and I'm going to start posting once or twice a day or however you decide, and just get that goal down, you know, then move on to the next thing. And soon you'll be at a really good spot. It's not going to happen overnight and you just got to keep working towards your ultimate goal.
That is brilliant advice. And, you know, just, I think sometimes when you're earlier on or even, not that early on, but you're in the middle of it, it can be hard to see the forest through the trees. So thinking about writing your goals down, both short and long term, I think can help with that.
For sure. And just, you will be successful if your heart is in it and you have the right people on your side and you just keep moving forward and don't just get discouraged. If you have one little setback, it's okay. That's what you learn from. And I know as business owners, it can be discouraging sometimes if you feel like you have a failure in something, but it's just going to help you grow and learn from it. And so you just have to keep pushing forward.
Amazing. So Amanda, where can people go to learn more about your business and your services?
So our Instagram is wellorganized.space, and that is also our website as well. It's a new domain is .space. I didn't even know it existed. So that is what our email or our Instagram and our website are.
I love your domain, and I have linked these, both Amanda's Instagram and website, in the show notes at marketingthatgenerates.com. So make sure to head there after this episode and you can check out more about what Amanda's doing.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Thanks, Amanda.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.